Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to eMudhra Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Venkataraman Srinivasan, Executive Chairman of eMudhra Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for joining us today. It is my pleasure to share eMudhra's performance for the second quarter and first half of FY 2026, along with key business developments that continue to strengthen our global positioning in the digital trust and cybersecurity space. We have delivered another quarter of steady growth, supported by strong client traction and disciplined execution across markets. For Q2 FY 2026, our total income was INR 174.95 crores, reflecting a 22.6% year-on-year increase. Our EBITDA was rupees 43.33 crore, translating to a margin of 24.8%, while net profit was rupees 26.44 crore, with a net margin of 15.1%. The performance during the quarter was driven by broad-based contributions from the U.S., Middle East, India, and Asia-Pacific, with the European region also beginning to contribute meaningfully following the acquisition of CRYPTAS. While integration efforts for CRYPTAS are underway, we expect the business to turn profitable over the next two quarters. The combination of our global scale and localized market approach continues to drive meaningful engagement across geographies. From a product standpoint, emSigner remains the platform of choice for enterprises seeking to automate complex multi-party signing workflows, particularly in regulated sectors such as banking and financial services. Our SecurePass and CertainX platforms continue to gain adoption among enterprise clients for unified management of user and device identities, helping organizations implement seamless access control frameworks across human and machine interfaces. We have also strengthened our cybersecurity portfolio with the acquisition of AI-CyberForge Inc., a U.S.-based company specializing in key and secrets management solutions. This addition enhances our capability in protecting data integrity and complements our broader cybersecurity offerings. Additionally, together with the CRYPTAS team, we are working to adopt our products for the European market while simultaneously introducing their solutions to non-European markets, enabling deeper penetration in both mature and emerging regions. Now, I would like to share some of the key project wins from the quarter. CertainX implementation for a security and investigation agency, an investigation company in North America. Two, implementation of emCA for one of the government projects in Malaysia. Three, certificate lifecycle management rollout for a government authority in the UAE. Then, continued client acquisitions in BFSI within India for emSigner, eSign, and e-stamping solutions, supporting lending, onboarding, and process automation. Then, enterprise emSigner rollout for a bank in Qatar. Then, e-signature workflow implementation for a state government organization in India. Then, service contract with the digital innovation unit of a large German retail and tourism group for PKI, CLM, and CRYPTAS professional services. Furthermore, our R&D efforts continue to focus on converged identity, data privacy, and generative AI, aimed at building future-ready solutions that address evolving customer and regulatory needs. The focus remains on expanding our innovation pipeline and refining our go-to-market strategies to accelerate growth while maintaining operational efficiency. With the integration of recent acquisitions, expanding global footprint, and continued innovation in identity, security, and digital trust services, we are well-positioned for sustainable long-term growth. With that, I would now like to invite Mr. Ritesh Pariyani, our CFO, to walk you through the detailed financial performance for the quarter and half-year. Mr. Ritesh.
Thank you, Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to share the highlight of our quarter two and half-yearly financial year 2026 financial performance. Our total income for quarter two financial year 2026 was INR 1,749.5 million, marking a 22.6% year-over-year growth. Gross profit for the quarter grew 35.9% year-over-year to INR 976.3 million with a margin of 55.8%. EBITDA for the quarter was INR 433.3 million, registering a 28.1% year-over-year growth with a margin of 24.8%. Profit after tax for the quarter was INR 264.4 million, reflecting a 18.6% year-over-year growth with a margin of 15.1%. Now turning to the first half financial year 2026 performance, total income for half year 2026 reaches INR 3,255.7 million, representing a 37% year-over-year growth. EBITDA for half yearly financial year 2026 was INR 813.2 million, registering a 28.5% year-over-year growth with a margin of 25%. PAT for half yearly 2026 was INR 514.7 million, growing 27.1% year-over-year with a margin of 15.8%. That concludes my remarks. Thank you, and we may now open the floor for the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use headset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our first question comes from the line of Srinath V from Bellwether Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just wanted to find out, sir, in the enterprise business, bifurcation of service and product, growth rates seem to have come off a bit. Is it largely coming from the services business? Would it be fair to assume the product business growth is actually pretty strong, sir?
Product business is quite strong. Service business, if you see, almost stagnant because of the 3-4. In the last quarter also, I think I mentioned, because one is this visa-related problem. Now H-1 visa also more problematic. And then the other thing is the AI and all replacing the number of people and those kind of thing. So the growth is really more in product business.
So how would you bifurcate the 137 crore, sir, between service and product, and what is the growth in service and what is the growth in product? Just to get a feel as to, you know, because the underlying growth is kind of decelerated, so want to understand, you know, what is service and product growth, sir.
1 minute, I'll give you. Service business, if you see, so you are
IT and plus 295.
You are saying
in enterprise, sir, in enterprise solution, what would be the services components, sir? 137 crore.
You are talking from the segment result, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
On 130.
Or you can give from the outside India business also. 109 crore. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, 109 is the.
Outside India,
yeah, enterprise
service business is in the USA. So, US business almost 40 crore is service business, and the balance
crore
is product business. The other 20 crore product business remains similar even compared to last quarter. Last quarter also almost 20 crore product business in USA. But the product business has grown more in the Middle East. But US product business also will pick up because the number of customers today. We are discussing with almost 7 big customers for major leads. So those things will materialize in the coming quarter. So in the coming quarter, more product business will grow and service business, we have to wait and see another 1 or 2 quarters how the impact of the H-1 visa, impact of the local recruitment and various things.
Got it, sir. Got it. On the lead pipeline, can you spend some time, sir, where, you know, on the product side, how is the lead pipeline? You know, what is the size of these contracts and how do you see the product business growing over the next, you know, year, just to get a sense of how things are progressing, especially in US, sir?
U.S. product business, because we have not signed the contract, we cannot name it, but at least some five, six major customer, each one will be almost a $1 million kind of deal or more than a $1 million deal, which we are negotiating. Out of that, some two, three could become a contract in this quarter itself. So that way, the U.S. product business will go. Similarly, Middle East product business and Africa is also growing, and in the Far East, particularly Philippines, is growing. So that way, the product business and the lead pipeline, what we are generating has, for the product business, has grown by 20-30%. So that way, we see good growth will happen in the product business. Even though, if you see two segment, one is the trust service segment will be little stagnant, but in the other U.S. service business also may be stagnant, but the product business will grow in such a way that the overall growth compared to last year to this year, what I said earlier, around 25-30%, can easily be maintained.
Got it, got it. So you're expecting a stronger second half, in that sense, as these, contracts kind of materialize.
But for us to achieve this, earlier we said 700 crore, no, 675 to 700 crore. Even if you see, currently the half year revenue, 325 crore. And even at the current run rate of 175 crore per quarter, the next half will be 350 crore. So that itself is 75 crore. So then,
probably
the fourth quarter will be better also compared to the other quarter. And even this time, full season impact of trust service has not come before September 30 because the tax filing was postponed to October. So that will have a little impact for the third quarter, and generally fourth quarter is better. With that, I feel that reaching that whatever we told around 700 crore should not be difficult at all. So this is what I feel as of now.
Got it. Last question, sir. Have we been able to, put a data center presence in US, given that we have localized the service there, do you see kind of better acceptance for the product? How will the U.S. business kind of play out over a three-year window?
We have already put the data center in both New Jersey and also Salt Lake City. And when the last quarter, at the time only we had put, and the audit was going on, because it has to be audited by the Web Trust accredited auditor, and that audit report has to be submitted to this this browser, CA browser, from all the major browsers. Then only they will recognize the issuance from there. So all these procedures have been fully done. Now we can start issuing, and one or two issuance have started from the US data center also. Now we are expecting the other major customers.
Got it. And this was a key bottleneck, sir, for expanding the US product business.
And the name also. So that's where now that US company we have named as a CertiNext Inc. We have created a separate subsidiary. Earlier, we were marketing in the eMudra Inc. name. Instead of eMudra Inc., we have created 100% subsidiary called CertiNext Inc. In the CertiNext Inc., we have put the local people, whatever one senior person, Scott, and another senior person, Spencer, and all those people as in charge. And with them only we are marketing, and they are all ex-DigiCert people. So that's where they are able to market well and also meet the customers and all that.
Got it, got it. Cool, sir. I'll get back into the question queue. Thanks.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Siddharth Mishra from Kriegis. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Some bookkeeping questions. Well, what was the inorganic contribution this quarter, if you can separate out Cryptas and AI CyberSource, and also highlight for what period in this quarter did we consolidate the numbers?
The consolidation is from July 1st, because the effective date of the Cryptas merger is July 1st. So, out of this quarter number, 175 crore is there, no? So in 170 crore, almost 22 crore is from the Cryptas and AI CyberForge. We are not separately marketing this product. That's a product which will be integrated with our product, so then sold. So in this quarter, there is no separate sale of that product. Cryptas sale itself was around 22 crore. So if you remove the 22 crore, the balance 173 crore is from the our other things. 153 crore is from the other things. So 150 to 153 is the other growth.
Got it, sir. Very helpful. So this basically highlights that the organic growth from last year is largely flat. Is there any reason, particular reason for it?
No. Because if you just see one quarter to another, that way we cannot see. No, because generally the second quarter, we get the season impact. This time, because the income tax filing is postponed to this, we didn't get the season impact. So on the whole, if you look at it, like what we projected, because if you see 525 crore was the last year, and this year we are poised for 700 crore. In this 525 to 700 is the cryptos, because AI Cyber Forge is a product thing. On that, not much revenue. Cryptos revenue, even if you estimate 1995 crore due to cryptos, which was the revenue which was there, then the balance will be what? 175, 90 goes almost, another 80 to 90 crore will be organic growth on a 525 base, which will be around 17-18% organic growth.
Understood, sir. So this is more a seasonality-led quarterly thing, year over year, FY26, we are on track.
Yeah.
And no, I'm just asking because trust services have continued to grow this quarter as well, despite the seasonality. If I exclude the cryptos or this 22 crore from the product revenue, the enterprise solution revenue, we have actually declined there. So that's why my question, I understand we are on track for the yearly growth, but is there anything else, maybe some, let's say deal wins about to close in this quarter, maybe move to next quarter, is there anything like that that happened?
I didn't get the question clearly.
So if I remove this 22 crore revenue, cryptos and AI CyberForge, which is inorganic revenue, from the enterprise solutions revenue this quarter, we would have declined from last year, year over year. Trust services has still grown. That's a separate business.
Just 1 minute. So enterprise revenue, how you are calculating from H1 to H1 or Q1 to
Q1? Q2 to Q2, just quarter over quarter.
Okay, last Q2 was 111, this Q2 is 132. No? So you are saying out of 132, if you remove this 22, then there is no growth in the enterprise between that quarter to this quarter. That is what you are saying.
Yes. 4% growth. It's about 4% growth.
Ah, yeah. That may be correct, but because these are all product business, exactly every quarter same, it may not happen.
Understood. Completely, I get that. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the number for Krista, we reported loss number of 15.6 million. So that's tax loss, I mean, that seems a bit high compared to the revenue, 22 crore revenue and, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, so my question was tax margin based on this number.
If you do not put that loss, because after accounting loss, the PAT is 26.4 crore. So this is almost 1.6 crore. Otherwise, it is 28 crore only on the basis of our profit. So 28 crore, even if you take their top line, it may be around 16% margin. But if you don't take that their top line, only on our top line, if you work, it will be more margin.
Understood. So actually, my question was, when we did the acquisition with CRIPTAS, I think the understanding was that CRIPTAS at that level is near break-even. But this number sort of is slightly higher, not too much. It's about, I think, minus 7% tax margin. So that was my question. But anything
EBITDA was break even. And PAT, even when we filed the stock exchange intimation at the time of acquisition, it was last year loss of 6.5 crore or 7 crore we have filed.
Got it.
EBITDA break even.
Understood. Actually,
we have to sell their product with us and our product to sell to them. So it may take another 2 quarters for it to come to profitability.
Understood, sir. Actually, I mean, EBITDA, my notes sort of suggest we had highlighted was about 10%, and PAT was near break-even, small loss is what my notes suggest, but maybe I misheard or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's at break-even level or EBITDA level right now?
Correct.
Understood, sir. Very helpful. Got it. And then, sir, we highlighted this services contract, for corporate trust center, PKI, CLM, Krypta professional services. So this is IT services contract. My question is, if you can, give a little bit more details here.
Krypta is not doing pure IT services. Krypta does along with this product, because what they were doing, instead of eMudhra, they were selling the key factor certificate, CA product, key factor CA solution they were selling. And when they were selling the solution, they were also doing the implementation services and all. So now that key factor CA solution is to be replaced by eMudhra CA solution. This is one thing. Then the second thing they were selling is the smart card-based authentication, where the digital signature, instead of getting issued in a token, it is issued in a smart card. And in Europe, smart card-based digital signatures are used by many people. This is another thing. Then the third is they were also selling the authentication, instead of server-side authentication, client-side authentication. So the pure IT services they were never selling, and even what they are selling to the German customer is not related to pure IT services. It is relating to the products only.
Understood. So this particular contract, which we have highlighted in the presentation, this is essentially moving some of those products from Krypta to the total entity. Is that correct to understand?
Yeah, two things.
Because it's a service contract.
Our product they can sell instead of the other CA product. That is number one. Then their card-based authentication system and other product we can sell in the Middle East Africa market. So, and then wherever they can use our back-end technology people, they can use the back-end technology people. All these areas are worked out for the synergy and how to make it profitable.
Understood, sir. So maybe I'll ask it slightly differently, the same question. The deal win that we have highlighted, the service contracts in the presentation, is this a, I mean, safe to say that this is a combined deal post-acquisition that we were able to get with Krypta?
Yeah. Combined deal, but in this deal, our product is still not positioned. It is whatever their product they were selling, that is what is there. So our product, now only we are making everything ready, so maybe next quarter onward it can be positioned.
Understood, sir. Very helpful. I'll join back in with you. I have a few more questions, but I'll join back in with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Our next question from the line of Jayshree Bajaj from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, net cash flow from operating activities for the H1 FY 2026 was 534.8 million, but the company recorded a negative working capital adjustment of 207.3 million. So what were the primary drivers behind this working capital adjustment, and what steps are being taken to optimize working capital? This is my first question. And my second question is, cash and cash equivalents at the end of H1 FY 2026 stood at 452.9 million, down from 1,012.5 million at the beginning of the financial year. So how does the management plan to manage the cash reserve, especially considering significant cash use and investment activities like acquisitions and all?
Yeah, this 20 crore working capital is because of the volume has increased. The trade receivables. No, as the volume has increased, the trade receivable also increased, payable has also increased. Because of that, the working capital, the net working capital has increased. For example, if you see, the receivable has gone to 172 crore. Though it has gone to 172 or 173 crore, still it is within 90 days working capital only. Only because of the volume increase, it has increased. But in the cash flow statement, any increase in net working capital will come as an outflow of cash. So that is where that is coming in the working capital adjustment. then the non-tax items are getting added. So with the result, operating cash flow is...
Sorry, your voice is breaking a lot.
Ma'am, it's clearly audible for from our end. There is a disturbance from your end, ma'am.
Yeah. So this operating cash flow is almost PBT minus tax is operating cash flow. So entire PAT, whatever PAT we have made, it is all realized in cash. So there is no abnormal increase in working capital or any other problem. That is number one. And the second thing is the, if you see the cash balance, so on March 2025, the cash balance was 188 crore. Currently, the aggregate cash balance available is 102 crore. So almost 80-85 crore reduction. But if you see these two acquisition itself, so the Cryptas acquisition itself is almost a 5 million euro, which is more than 50 crore. And the AI CyberForge acquisition is almost $4.8 million, which is again 45-47 crore. So this total itself is 95 crore. But after that, we have also incurred some 30 crore towards our own capital expenditure on 3 products. So those are also spent out of cash accrual. So because of that, still after all that, we have 102 crore cash. And in the next 6 months, we are not planning any acquisition. So that way, this cash should be more than adequate, so there should not be any problem.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Surbhi Soni from Bellwether. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just want to understand a bit more on the cybersecurity part of the business here. If I see the breakup of the enterprise business between paperless and cybersecurity, there is a decline in the cybersecurity revenue. Wanted to understand what has led to the decline here. Is it more of a timing issue, or is there a loss of customer, or is it that some of the POCs are not scaling up?
No, no, if you see quarter by quarter, in one quarter some one or two more mSigner deal will be won. In another quarter, two extra CA solution will be won. So that way there is no, this is not leading to any permanent erosion of the base or anything like that. So all the bids where we are going, it is continuing. Because of this, the little bit 68% may become 62%, 65%, 63% like this. It is not, if it goes to 20% or 30%, then there is a cost for worry. So it is a very minor aberration due to quarter-to-quarter impact.
The Cryptas would sit in the cybersecurity piece, right? The 22 crores that you spoke about.
This is only, this time we have only put the eMudra solution thing, not the Cryptas. Because in Cryptas, a lot more analysis, how we have to make it to fall in line with the eMudra type of analysis, which we have not yet done.
That's so why the 22 crore is not yet in the number,
right? No, it is in the number. But in this 62% to 38% in page 5 of the presentation, in that presentation it is not part of the 62% number.
Okay, sir. But where would that sit then? It would still be part of the enterprise revenue, 137 crores, right?
Correct.
But the split between no paperless, okay, it's exclusive of that. Fair, understood. And just to get a better class services revenue, can you just date down what was the contribution from Icon 295 and SenseCrypt in this quarter? So that we can understand the service business portion slightly better.
Yeah, Icon and 295, generally last quarter also I said around 37, 38 crore, then 3, 4 crore our own services. It remains at that level. It has not picked up this quarter. And because of lot of uncertainty, as you may know, in the US service business, because of the various visa policy, it may remain, if it remains at that constant level next 2 quarters, that is what may happen. It may not increase much. CenterCrypt is a different thing. CenterCrypt is a product business which is already merged with our company. So totally when we sell the solutions, we are also in our CA solution, CLM solution, we also include the CenterCrypt component. Similarly, AI for cyber forge component also will be included in that. So those things, company is not maintained separately, those will not be sold separately. But the 295 and Ikon being services business, they are sold separately. And wherever they are referring customers for our product, that is also directly sold from eMudhra, not from them.
Understood. And when is the integration of AI CyberForge expected to get completed, and how will it,
Maybe
and what part of
this quarter mostly it will be done.
And with that integration, are you actually already approaching customers with a revised product? And what is the growth path that you can achieve with this product integration at the time of renewal?
Still integration is going on. So still approaching customer, we have to educate the entire sales scheme, sales team, then the POC has to be created properly. So all those work is going on. Maybe next quarter we may go with the integrated product.
Understood, sir. And how do you see the growth in the trust business going ahead with, I'm guessing a part of certificate revenue gets incorporated in trust business also. So how do you see?
So mainly the growth this time has come more from the e-signature, because e-signature is in the part of the trust services. And a lot of earlier we were doing 30,000-40,000 e-signature per day. Today we are doing almost 3 lakh e-signature per day. But though the revenue per signature revenue is less, but some growth. Otherwise, earlier I expected trust service may continue at the last year level, but now we feel from 100 crore it may go to 120 or 130 crore revenue for the whole year.
Understood, understood. And sir, eventually, if it's possible to quantify how much of our revenue is coming from U.S., and over the next 3 years, what?
U.S. This quarter was 60 crore, and totally around 123 or 125 crore for the half year.
For the half year. And do we see this growing at 15-20% over the next 2-3 years, or would you say it would be more in the range of 20-25%?
We have to see, because in this, the service segment currently, because of the visa policy and various things, it is not growing. And we have to wait and see how that visa things will stabilize and the policies will stabilize, number one. Number two is the product side is growing. But today, if you see, one-third is product and two-third is services. So on the one-third side, even if you achieve a 50% growth or 100% growth, when you incorporate the 100%, now let us say product is 20, service is 40. On 20, if you get even 20, another 20 growth, product 40 is remains 40. Then on the whole 60, you may achieve 25% growth only.
Fair, fair. How many people do we have on visa in the US?
In visa, so almost in H1 visa alone, in Ikon more H1 visas are there. In 295 it is more green card and citizens. On the whole it may be 40 to 45 people. But current H1 visa is not a problem. Trump policy, only new H1 visa 100,000 is to be paid. But still what is happening from a customer perspective, because they all understand that this government is against keeping the H1 people, they are all trying to terminate the H1 people, want it to be replaced by citizen and green card holders, all these things.
Right, and is there some part of the work which with service business not been, if I were to put it that way, be the focus area? A part of the business can also be outsourced, or would we will then hire more locals in the US?
No, when we go to outsourcing contract negotiation and local service negotiation are in two different segments. So the existing, when you do local service, it will be 5 people, 10 people, 8 people like this. When you do outsourcing service, it will be under 200 people. So this what we are having today, we may not be able to outsource to India, that kind of thing, unless we go for a larger contract negotiation. That larger contract negotiation, we do not have the name and the brand for those negotiations, because in that game already TCS, Infosys, everybody is there.
Right, understood. And on the progress with the system integrators and the partnerships that we have, is there any incremental update on that side or that part of the channel has been slow?
In the U.S., but here in India, a lot more government business is coming through segment system integrators. Similarly, in Middle East, Africa, a lot more business is coming. But in the U.S. still, because the U.S. revenue is still very small for their size. So unless for one system integrator, we are able to give 100 crore business, then they will get motivated. So that level has still not reached. It may take some time to reach.
All right. And that's more on the paperless side, or is it on the cybersecurity side, the government business in India?
More government business in India is more cybersecurity and SecurePass. emSigner paperless side is more BFSI.
Fair enough. Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Siddharth Mishra from Creaegis. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking that question again. So just building up on the last previous participant's question, the H-1B dependency, visa dependency, you highlighted 40-45 people, largely in ICOM. But is there a number that you can give? Sorry, sir. My question was, is there any number that you can give?
Not only in ICOM, some people are in 295 also.
Understood. Understood. So but total 40-45 people. Question is, a number that you can give on the people coming up for renewal in next 12 months?
But even if you come for renewal, on renewal people, this $100,000 is not applicable.
Sorry, the new visa, maybe the six-year total, three-year approval and three-year renewal, if that goes away or we are close to completing that six-year, you might have to then get a new H-1B visa. Is there a number that you can give for the new H-1B visa application, maybe over the next 12 months?
The thing is, in three-year renewals, this $100,000 fee is not applicable. After six-year, by that time, if their green card processing is already approved, then only they can continue on that H-1B visa. If the green card processing is not approved up to 6 years, the person has to come back.
Understood. Got it. So then what is our contingency plan to mitigate this risk? What are we trying to?
Contingency plan will be to improve the product business considerably. Because the situation today, more and more situation is in a little this kind of temperament where people may not engage more H-1B people. So we have to identify the citizens and the green card holder and put them on roll. Or we have to diversify more into the product business.
Understood. And for hiring on-site and productivity?
Another diversification is that is why we cannot depend on the single country of USA alone. That's why we are going in multiple countries. So in one country, some problem happens, we are able to overcome by improvement in the other country.
Understood, sir. Very helpful. So hiring on-site people will increase your costs. Are we confident that we will be able to pass through some of those costs at least? Because otherwise, it will impact our services margins.
Yeah. We should be able to pass through. Because of the non-availability and when they are insisting you bring the citizen or green card holders, they are ready to pay more.
Understood, sir. Very helpful.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And sir, maybe on the sales and marketing spend overall, as a percentage of revenue, rough number if you can highlight and how much it has grown in the last couple of years and what is our expectation going forward?
Sales and marketing cost. No, sales and marketing, there are two things. One is the trust services where we are giving the partner commission. So that partner commission is the main sales and worker, but that is not applicable to the retail business where we are engaging our own people and they are doing the WhatsApp marketing, telemarketing, and all that. So out of trust services business, if you say roughly 75% or 70% trust service, may come from the partner network. On that, on the token, we don't pay commission. On other things, we pay 40-45% commission. So maybe in a year, we may be paying some 24 crore commission on the trust services for the sales and marketing. Then if you see pure market, other thing for the partner model, invariably we are, very rarely we are paying a commission structure, otherwise it is more of a transfer pricing, and from transfer pricing they bill the end customer. So that way how much extra they will be billing, we do not know. Then from a purely marketing angle, almost $1 million we allocate to marketing to do various Google marketing and then various other the LinkedIn marketing and various other marketing. So that way it is not extremely sizable. And we are also now for the partner events, we give 50%. If some event they conduct with $4,000, $5,000, we pay some $2,000, $3,000. Like that in a year, we conduct some 50, 60 events like that. So all these put together, this $1 million takes care. Otherwise, the salary of the salespeople alone, if you calculate what will be the salary of the salespeople, it may be 10 to 12% something of the overall salary.
Of the overall salary, not the percentage of revenue.
Not percentage of revenue, no. That way we are not calculating, because the same people are continuing. Unless we go to a new geography, for increasing in the existing geography, the number of salespeople are not increased much.
Got it, but I mean, if possible, the total sales and marketing spend, and I mean, we can exclude the trust services, partner commission, that's separate, as percentage of revenue, if possible, if you can highlight, because this number seems very low, 10 to 12% of overall salary, and maybe, you know, sales commissions as well, if you can include, and rough number is...
We will work out and send it to you.
That
way we have not calculated. We will calculate what is the salary of the salespeople as compared to the turnover and then send it to you.
Understood, sir. Very much. And then, you know, similar number on the R&D side. And I want to understand total R&D spend that we have, the one that we expense through income statement and the part that we capitalize as well. If you can separately highlight, that would be very helpful, because our CAPEX number for first half is already higher than FY25. I understand some part of that is because of the
capitalizing almost 54, 55 crore we are capitalizing, but that is predominantly earmarked for those three product development, and that is what we are capitalizing. Then the balance cost will go to the salary, which also we have to calculate, around 230 people are there in the R&D itself, so which we are not capitalizing, which goes to the regular operation.
Understood, sir. That's very helpful. So this capitalized spend R&D, got it. So the product development spend, 54, 55 crore, this is for the first half or the total year number that you have highlighted?
No, total year, not quarter.
The full year. Okay. Got it. So any updates around the new products? So when are we, you know, planning to launch or any traction that we are seeing?
No, their development is going on as well, because the three areas what we conceptualized, one was data privacy stack. Another is in the MSigner itself, so further development to take care of the verticalization of BFSI and then the voice authentication and various things. So then in the CertiNext and remote signing. So all the development are going on. Mostly it can be launched by March, April. But launch means it will again be integrated. These developments are all, it will be integrated with our current product stack. So for example, MSigner, whatever we are developing, that development alone cannot be separately sold. That development will enrich our product so that it will make it more saleable in the market against the competition. Similarly, in CertiNext, whatever we are doing, it will again become, make it more competitive. It will not be a separate product which will be sold.
Understood, sir. Very helpful. I was more trying to ask about the mobile PKI product that we had under development, the post-quantum cryptography, and there was one more product which has been under...
already developed. And nowadays in the RFP, that becomes a requirement. Still, nobody has started using it, but everybody in the RFP says post-quantum features are needed. We are saying it is there, and we are supplying that also, along with the... So what they want is, they don't want post-quantum alone, so they want under all the algorithms. So they want the CA solution in RSA algorithm, elliptic curve algorithm, as well as the post-quantum algorithm, and we are giving to all the algorithm. Whatever they are using, they are using, but predominantly everybody currently uses for human and individual digital signature issuance, they are using the RSA algorithm. For IoT devices, they are using the elliptic curve algorithm. Up to now, nobody is using the TQC algorithm, though they are demanding the RFP. That is the reality.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question come from the line of Surbhi Soni from Bellwether. Please go ahead.
In the balance sheet-
Ma'am, your voice is breaking. We can't hear you. Ma'am, I'm really sorry, but your voice is breaking. We can't hear you properly.
Audible?
No, ma'am, still not.
I'll just get back with you again.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question come from the line of Srinivasu from TIA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. My question is about India is moving to agentic commerce, where AI agents places orders, it signs document and approve payouts, you know, using across microservices. So this is only, you know, scales if actions are authorized and auditable with zero human touch. So how does eMudhra current products like SecurePass, CertiNext, emSigner, to enable this per agent identity, automated certificate renewals and delegated signing end-to-end without any human intervention?
Yeah, here two things are there. AI in eMudhra can be used for the software development, innovation and all that to some extent, but may not be able to do full extent, but some extent it can be. AI cannot be used fully automated because the digital signature issuance are all regulated by the Ministry of IT, and then there are a lot of regulation by which physically we have to verify whether the person is online, then whether he should not be, he has to move his limb and he has to answer three questions, and that is to be recorded by our physical person. Both put together need to be recorded. So that way a lot of regulations are there. So because of all this regulation, currently purely fully agentic AI cannot be used for the issuance of digital signatures. In the software development, to some extent it can be used, but there also 100% it may not work. To some, we are continuously doing R&D on that also, to whatever extent we use. That is where, if you see the number of technology people, though our company turnover has increased over the last 4-5 years, corresponding number of people has not increased. Number of people almost remain at that level or maybe marginally increased. So that's where, wherever possible, we are using, but complete issuance of digital signature or issuance of SSL cannot be fully completed by the AI.
Yeah.
But you can record this DPDP complaint, consent and audit trails, right? You can automate that also, right?
We can automate, but the CCA regulation says it cannot be. There will be L1 verification and L2 verification, which should be done by a manual agent, and that agent space also need to be recorded. Then after every recording, he has to sign with his digital signature that he only saw that person like that. There are regulations.
Okay. So if at all it scales, and if India pushes for this, how eMudhra is positioned to capture this trend?
We are well positioned. One is from a software development side, we are already using the AI, the cloud AI and various AI in the software development side one. And the agentic AI also, we are ready. We can use it provided the regulations approves it. And then we can put the agentic AI and verify this. Then the third aspect is whether the humanoid comes with, for the humanoid itself, identity of the humanoid, can we issue a IoT certificate in the humanoid? So that also we are thinking how to do that. So that way we will be ready. Arvind will also supplement.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of automation and things that go in our CLM and security side of the products, especially the lifecycle management and such. Today we're already using bots to identify, you know, cryptographic credentials, automate the issuance, manage the lifecycle, and all of that. So essentially the stack supports issuance of identity credentials to almost any asset, right, over time. And if globally there are accepted standards on assigning identities to agents in cryptographic forms, then I think at that time you're already essentially ready to issue those identities, manage the lifecycle, and essentially help firms address this in a risk-free manner, especially large enterprises where the risk obviously would increase, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Siddharth Mishra from Courageous. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question again. So just final two questions. Revenue guidance, we are confident 675 to 700 crore. EBITDA margin, anything that you would like to highlight, sir?
EBITDA margin, more than EBITDA margin, the PAT only we are thinking of around that same 16%, 15.5 to 16% what I guided earlier.
And this excludes Krypta acquisition, the margin?
Krypta's acquisition currently PAT is negative. So in the next two quarters, yeah, we feel that we can make it positive.
Got it. But for the full year, the 15.5 to 16%, does this include Krypta's numbers or does this exclude?
Krypta's as a whole for the year, if you see, Krypta's may not be positive because the first quarter itself 1.6,
yeah,
1.4 negative.
Yeah, yeah.
The percentage includes including Krypta's top line. Krypta's top line is included in this 675 to 700. But Krypta's bottom line, nothing may come in the current year. So only from our bottom line, including taking into Krypta's top line, we will achieve this 16%. This is what we are saying, or 15.5-16%.
I understand, sir. Got it. And the last one is on, you know, we had highlighted that by, we are confident that even after paying for the Krypta and AI CyberForge acquisition, the cash level by FY26 end would be 140 crore. Are we confident of that number?
No, already 110 crore is there, 102 crore is there. Now in the next 6 months, there is no acquisition payment, nothing is involved. So that way, whatever cash accrual comes, that has to increase our cash flow only. So that way we are confident, maybe it may go to 130 or 140 or at least 125, something it should go. So that way the requirement to raise any money will not be there.
Got it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Srinath V from Bellwether Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Arvind. Wanted to find out, we've been making some investments in marketing in US, you know, these roundtable conferences with CXOs and CIOs. You know, how is that progressing in any kind of output or lead pipeline from that? And second, as we get into the calendar 2026 and client budgets are getting firmed up, what are the kind of marketing investments are we making from now to, say, Jan-Feb? You know, the critical period when new contracts are formed or client budgets are firmed up. If you could spend some time on this, that will be really useful, Arvind. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. To your first question on whether our activities in US are helping us, I think they absolutely are. Because I think Chairman has already alluded to, you know, some of the projects that we are working on and the rough sizes of them. And a lot of these come from these personal interactions and these events that we do. And a lot of these are, you know, more in the Fortune 500 or below, or above rather, Fortune 100 and, you know, so on. So, you know, we are directly getting into the enterprise segment, which is a very good place to be. As far as our industry in cybersecurity and these things are concerned. And so we are obviously doubling down on that and expanding on that. We're participating in conferences. We were in Black Hat. We're sponsoring that across 3 locations. So we're in all the popular industry conferences. So the brand credibility and all is also, you know, being parallelly worked on and grown. And that is definitely starting to show results. And I think some of these will be more evident because at this stage, I'm sort of bound. I cannot name any of these accounts. But something we will see over time, you know, imminently. Same goes for a lot of the other regions. I think APAC is another growth market, and we're focusing a lot on Philippines, engaging in events and omni-channel approach. We are using all of the latest tools in marketing and a lot of automation as well. So we use tools like HubSpot. We have integrations with our CRM. We have a lot of intent signals and a lot of investment, you know, I guess a lot of effective investments that helped us scale there. Right. So I definitely see that helping and growing in the coming, you know, few quarters. Right. And your second question was, sorry?
On investments we are making. So every time we have made these, you know, investments in engaging with the industry, more often than not with a lag, we have actually seen business conversions, you know, especially now that two big changes have happened, right? We have rebranded our product and also now got our US data center, meaning it's now effectively a US product, you know, in that sense, a US certificate. So from the standpoint, what kind of investments are we making now, given that a lot of our product backend is fixed. We have got our email product also set. And therefore, what kind of investments are we making? Because it seems like now it's the inflection, or we are closer to the inflection point than we have been in the last, say, 1 or 2 years, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, it's really about connecting with the customers and understanding cycles in different regions. Most of the contracts in US are all, you know, multi-year contracts often. So, you know, when you're in the industry and in the segment and you're talking to people, you know, when they sort of renew. And a lot of our activity has been more in the private sector in US, unlike a government sector where budgeting becomes very critical at the end of the year and then you have to make sure it's part of the next year's budget and all that. So, you know, different regions have different budgeting cycles. I presume your question is more oriented to US. So those investments are actively being made. In fact, we have a localized team. Their job is to outreach, do outreach to all those customers, to all the enterprise segments that we have, understand these sort of cycles so that we can really hit at the right time. And these are honestly not even just year-end things that we do for, because we're largely focused on private sector enterprise in US to start with. These are continuous activities that we do and we keep track of. And, you know, there are other systems and tools we use to get all this intelligence as well, so that we can continually be in touch and strike at the right time. So I think that also shows that, you know, we will see that momentum and growth in the coming quarters, because as you said, we're getting closer to an inflection point and seeing continual traction and growth on the and momentum on the product side in US.
And we are going gradually. What we are doing, we will not spend a huge marketing spend. We are in a year, some 4 or 5 event we are hosting. So in that one of the event, what we call ECAB event, we ourselves are creating the event and a lot of senior people from cybersecurity side, they are all attending the event. The other one event is the RSA conference. Then there are other Black Hat event is another event like that. And each of these event cost will be some anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000. So which we will be spending. Then the other thing is these senior level is now in place. So we are recruiting the junior level people for the just sales. And not only sales, earlier delivery of all the certificate was from India, so the day and night time it is affecting. So for that what we are doing is we are recruiting local people who can do the verification and who can issue the certificate from there itself. Because now the data center is also there. Just because of the day and night difference, if the delay is there, then our penetration will be affected. But these people also, we are not recruiting very senior people. These are all $60,000, $70,000 people. And maybe we are also recruiting some 2 people in South America at a much lower cost, which is in the same time zone as in Bogota, because we have the office. So that they can also do this approval process. Because some of the company where we are discussing, there will be a lot of SSL approvals which are there. So this is what we are doing. So nothing will result in a huge spend, because until we ramp up and the revenue increase, then correspondingly only we want to increase the cost. Otherwise, it may have a negative effect on the profit. But at the same time, we are taking a very measured effort on what way we can push in the market.
And importantly, it's a structured systemic approach. So we're putting the system in place along with the marketing and other activities so that it can consistently grow over time, like Middle East and other regions.
Perfect. One last follow-up on this. Two-part question on public trust, in especially in U.S., one big opportunity was being a redundancy partner for these large, you know, Fortune 100 or Fortune 500 enterprises who need redundancy partners, and especially given that now we are completely U.S.-based, is that opportunity, are you seeing the opportunity on ground? Second question on private trust, you know, that is a slightly more custom solution market where the existing players are, you know, from my understanding, offering very standardized products. So in the private trust market where, you know, the ticket sizes are a little bit larger, you know, how has been the, you know, engagement and traction? So public trust redundancy partner, private trust customized solution. If you can address both, Arvind, that'll be great.
Sure. Yeah, I think we are seeing that play out quite decently because, you know, I think a lot of organizations in U.S. are also global organizations, and one of our U.S. pieces is that we are not just in U.S., but we have a strong brand outside as well. So when we factor that with this localization that we worked on extensively, I think that really hits a sweet spot that a lot of customers appreciate. And then you factor that with the local team and systems and the people that we have put in place, the message really comes from the right people, right, who understand the pain points, who've been through those contracting processes before. So, you know, we are seeing signs of success on the redundancy play as well. And also on the private trust part, and a lot of things we're doing on private trust so far in some of these initial accounts are focused a lot on high volume IoT use cases. So they are, you know, very entrenched sort of ecosystems, which once you're in and you're working, then people generally may not want to touch your system, right? So, and these are substantially sizable companies as well. So the private trust, they really, our USP focuses on our value that we bring to the table, a slight bit of flexibility paired with our, you know, product, comprehensive nature of our product suite, which is where they're able to get more with one vendor and, you know, makes the whole engagement easier. So these two themes have broadly still been what we are sticking to and what we're positioning and what have started to show early signs of success.
And in each one, in the first one, we have signed one contract, but the volume is yet to pick up. Second one, we are expected to sign two contracts in this month if things work well. So it is all in contracting stage.
Thank you. Thank you for the very elaborate, detailed answer. I'll get back into the question queue. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So since there are no more questions, I would like to thank everyone for joining the call today. We remain focused on delivering consistent performance and innovative solutions that enable secure digital transformation for our clients across the globe. For any additional information or queries, kindly get in touch with our investor relations advisors, Churchgate Partners. Thank you once again. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of eMudhra Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.